passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
And welcome back as we continue here on a busy Wednesday afternoon. Let's start the third hour by checking in with JK. Good afternoon.
JK. What's up, Feinbaum?
Hey there.
Hey, man, I was up in your neck of the woods a couple of weeks ago up in Charlotte. Ball up there.
Why didn't you call me?
Oh, yeah, I had a... Oh, man, I figured you were busy talking to Nick Saban or something. Hey, Paul, you know what, man? I tried to get these Bama fans a break, but I called in to give old Michael Brayton a little standing ovation, just a small standing ovation, because why would a Bama fan call in upset when the guy's telling the truth? Last year, Alabama couldn't win the West with the number one and the number three player picked in the NFL draft. That is a fact. They don't have those two players this year. They still had the same DBs that can't cover anybody. So I think they're going to struggle this year. I don't know exactly how many games, but I believe at least two. And I can tell you why I think two. Because Nick Saban and Alabama defense, coached by Nick Saban, typically has trouble with hurry up and spread offenses. He's going to run into that this year with Petrino down at A&M, with Hugh Freeze at Auburn, Lane Kiffin. And we hadn't even mentioned the Tennessee team that beat him last year, that they couldn't seem to stop running up and down the field all season. So I don't see what Mike was wrong at. Do you?
Well, I do, but I don't think one season has anything to do with another season. I think there was a lot more going on last year, and I think most of it had to do with coaching. I'm not going to be a broken record, but I thought Saban had – two inferior coordinators, and it ultimately cost the team. And I know you can say, well, Saban's the coach, but I saw some things from Saban last year that were disturbing. I think he let the defensive coaches, the defensive coordinator, have way too much authority.
And he said he think maybe they'll finish third or worse in the West.
That's what he said.
They wasn't too far from that last year.
Well, they weren't too far from it, but they still didn't. They still finished where they did. They finished fifth in the country, JK.
I understand that, Paul, but they also finished fourth in the SEC. Now, if you can make those two make sense, I'll buy you dinner tomorrow.
You can easily make that make sense when you consider how difficult the SEC is.
Oh, there you go with that.
I mean, this isn't like your league over at the ACC.
I don't own a league. I'm just a fan. But, Paul,
you may be a fan, but you can't accept the reality that whether Alabama finished fourth or not, at the end of the season, they were easily the second or third best team in the country.
Yeah, that's your opinion. And
no, that's not my opinion. I think that's pretty factual.
How can they be the second best team and they wasn't even in the playoffs?
Well, you're using faulty logic there. I'm just saying that the way they were playing, had Alabama been in the playoffs last year as the fourth seed, they would have played Georgia. I think they would have lost. I don't have any doubt about that. But I think they could have beaten two of the playoff teams. They would have easily beaten TCU and would have beaten Michigan just as easily. I'm not sure they would have beaten Ohio State. That's the only school that I'm pausing on.
Yeah, you said they easily would have beaten Tennessee too, and we see what happened, right?
You know, I vaguely remember picking Tennessee to win that game, but I'm sure there's no documentation of that, is there?
Let's hope not.
Hey, Paul, Nick is talking about they're going to go back to smash mouth football. Running the ball, and I want to see how that works out, running the ball.
Hey, J.K., do you feel like you can – this death wish of yours for Alabama's program, do you think one day you'll get it right? Because you've been whiffing now for about 17 years.
I'm 2 years in count right now. But you know what? I can understand why he's talking smash mouth, because he don't even have a quarterback as of today. Paul, you have a good day.
Yeah. Susie is up next.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Hey there.
How are you today?
We're doing great, Susie. How are you doing, more importantly?
They released me last night, and everything came out great. I have a heart probably of a 50-year-old, and I'm going to be 75. Everything is strong. So I guess it was muscular, maybe lifting my grandson. I've been on prednisone, and prednisone can do that too. But, you know, I'm glad I erred on the side of caution and got everything done and saw my regular physician today, and he said my blood pressure was great, so all is good. I think AC had speed for lunch. I think AC had speed for every day for lunch. Is he really not an American? Is he, or is that just, you know, Bangladesh?
Yeah, I really have no idea, Susie. I assume he lives in Bangladesh. He used to live in New Jersey, then he moved to Canada. I mean, he's on the run. I mean, clearly, he is wanted.
He's wanted everywhere. Well, he's interesting. And I want to vent about something yesterday with a caller that, and I don't even remember his name because I didn't care for his conversation when he was talking about why don't we get rid of the bottom feeder teams.
Right.
And he referred to Vanderbilt and that. And I just, you know, things like that are disturbing to me because, you know, those teams are warranted in the SEC. They're part of the SEC. They make the SEC. You know, all teams, you know, whether they'll ever rise above where they're at, they're certainly doing better. But, you know, in life to refer to people and teams and, you know, you've got students that are loyal to their teams. And, you know, having Devin on today, the new quarterback for Kentucky, I was so impressed with him. What a fine young man and well-spoken. And, boy, I wish them and Kentucky the best. I wish, you know, I wish all those of us that could be called bottom feeders at a time, you know, in the bottoms or whatever, have a great year. And I think we're going to see that this year. I truly believe that Georgia and Alabama are going to be tested by, you know, those of us in the SEC that have some good things going. And I want best for Arkansas. I am rooting so high for Arkansas because of their schedule, you know, and you look at Georgia's schedule. And I know that's planned ahead of time. And I know Michigan's planned ahead of time, but it keeps those dang teams up in the top five or six or top four or whatever. And they play nobody for so many games.
Susie, listen, I'm so glad to hear you're out of the hospital and doing better. You take care of yourself. John is up next in Louisville. Hey, John.
Yeah, good to hear Susie's doing well. Yeah, prednisone is not good for the blood pressure. Hey, AC's got an Eastern accent, and quite frankly, there's no extradition agreement with Bangladesh, so I think he's going to stay there. As far as JK, he needs to lose the Miami bling if he can't bring up his team. And then I think Bubba fell asleep on James' phone call in the first segment, don't you?
Well, I don't blame him if he did. I think I mean, James is close to being the most annoying caller on this show.
Yeah. And I see what you're doing with Michael Bratton. You took so much heat from Myrtle Beach Bob and Kentucky Mike, you thought, well, let's see if Mike Griff's available. Oh, no, he's not.
Yeah, no,
Griff, bring Mike Bratton up.
We couldn't afford Griff today, so we got Bratton. And I mean, Bratton's the go-to guy when you want to rile up the Bammers.
Oh, he stirred it up. And I agree. When I was out visiting my daughter last week in North Hollywood, I went down to see my niece at USC, and we met some UCLA fans, and they don't know football whatsoever. They go out to Rose Bowl, to Pasadena, to watch football games. They're getting nothing with UCLA. They're getting something with USC.
You know, people don't understand. You were there, having been to that campus. I mean, UCLA is literally in the wealthiest area of LA.
Brentwood, yeah.
It's
near Brentwood.
Yeah, it's between Westwood. It's between Beverly Hills and Bel Air, where every movie star in the world has at least one of their 15 homes, and they don't look at things like we do. I mean, they're happy if they win. They're happy if they lose, as long as they've got their wine and and legalize pot, they're doing great.
Well, there's a lot of that out there, trust me. And, you know, one silver lining they're pushing out there is that the Big Ten Championship will now be played in the Rose Bowl every year, which makes sense.
I don't know about that one. That's a crazy place to take a game between Ohio State and Michigan.
I know. Good point. Hey, Paul, great show today.
John, thank you. Always good to hear from you. You be well. You take care of yourself. We will come back. A lot to do, including Takeo Spikes. We've already had Devin Leary on. Michael Bratton stirred it up. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome back. Dan is up next in Louisiana. What do you got, Dan?
Thanks, Paul. Paul, out of the last three coaches we had, Miles, Orgeron, and Kelly, how do they stack up? Do you think Kelly's the best of all of them?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt. Kelly's the best coach there since Saban. Les Miles, when he was on his medication, was a really good coach. I don't know what happened to him late in his career there. Orgeron was a terrible head coach. He was a great recruiter. He was a great motivator, a great line coach, but he could not handle being in charge.
Paul, where do you see LSU in the West?
Second.
I don't know, Paul. I think their team's going to be better than it was last year. I really do.
Well, Dan, that may be true, but it's also true that their hardest game is going to be in Tuscaloosa, where I do not think they will come out of there with an overtime victory like a year ago. Trey, you're in Tuscaloosa. You understand what I just got through saying.
Oh, yes, sir, I sure do. I completely understand it. These LSU fans, they crag me up, Paul. We've already talked about it, Paul. If they didn't beat Alabama last year and have four losses, we wouldn't be talking about LSU, Paul. And they want to talk about their offense, Paul. They need to worry about that defense, Paul. That they lost three games by 20 or more points. So they need to shore that defense up. But, Paul, J.K., let me ask you a question. Was that a recording or was that live? I keep hearing the same old phone call from J.K.
Yeah, it's definitely a recording because, Trey, I mean, there was a time when J.K. was funny.
Yeah, I know it. What happened to him, Paul? I don't get it. It's the same old, Paul. But I hadn't been able to call in, been out there at football practice with my 9-year-old boys, Paul. I'm loving it. A little hot, but I'm loving it. But I have a question for you about NIL and transfer portal, and not as far as college goes anymore, because it's going on in high school now, And it's also going on in middle school. And I know the kid, I know you keep up with this going on in Alabama. The kid transferred from Mobile Christian to Spanish Fort. So my question to you is, Paul, how young are we going to allow these kids to just transfer? Or I've seen middle schoolers getting money now. And when I get to thinking about that, it's so hard to make it in the pros or professional sport at anything. What do you think it's going to do to our youth when they don't make it the big time as far as their education goes and the future of our country? Has anybody ever thought about that aspect of letting these – I mean, just – I'm seeing 7th and 8th graders get paid money now, Paul. And so there's so much put on these sports and athletics.
Should that really be
a
surprise when I look up at TV and I see the Little League World Series regionals on national television?
Sir?
I mean, is that a big surprise when I look up at my TVs around here and there are Little League games on all the ESPN channels right now? So when you're 10 years old and you're playing games on national television, I'm not blaming anyone because I know people watch it, but it's just a different time in the world, and young people are accustomed to this. So I think they'll adjust. Trey, I'm not overly concerned.
Okay, I'm just curious. I'm just worried about
Have you had to deal with it on your team already? I realize you just started practice, but is anybody threatening to go to another team if you don't play them?
Well, our first game was this Saturday, but I can tell you there's other parks around here that come around trying to poach kids. It's happening, Paul. It's happening, and none of my kids have got an NIL deal yet, but maybe I can get you to help me out. If I get one of my kids an NIL deal, maybe you can share some of the money with me.
Trey, how old are these kids, 9 and 10?
Yes, sir. They're 9 and 10 years old, yes, sir.
When I was 9 and 10, what was a lot of money, a quarter, 50 cents? Dollar.
Well, Paul, I worked at a full service gas station my first job when I was 13 years old, and we'd get a tip for washing windows of a nickel and a dime, and I'd come home with 20 cent tip, and I thought I made a ton of money.
No, so, you're right. I mean, I remember I think it was my senior year in high school. I was a, what do they call it, a bag boy.
Yeah,
sack grocery. Yeah, so I would take.
Take the groceries out, and you'd get a 10-15 cent in the brown paper bag.
You would flirt with the women, and they might give you a quarter, 50 cents.
Well, Paul, we would fight over washing the windshields because the good-looking women were sitting in the car. What do you think?
I just wish I understood things better then than I do now. I would have kept that job.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, thank you for taking my call, Paul, and you have a great day.
I'll never forget. Ma'am, you want me to take the milk and eggs out and put them in the front? I was a big-time bag boy. I had it down. Didn't last at all. Corky is in Fort Worth. Hello, Corky.
Hey, what's up, Paul? Glad to hear you, Bubba.
You bet. Great to hear from you.
Oh, and happy late birthday. Hey, I was going to talk about Alabama, too, but I'm not going to rag on them too much because I really think they probably was the second-best team at the end of the year. But you made a comment. You said that it had two mediocre coordinators, right?
I did say that, yes.
And you know I'm a diehard Notre Dame fan. Did you see our offense? And Tommy Reese, the honest truth, I actually thought he would get fired last year. And I'm being honest, and I'm going to shut up and let you talk.
Yeah, I know what the hype is, Corky, and so do you. And I'm more than happy to wait to see what he does. Saban loves him. When I was with Saban a couple weeks ago, he was effusive about Tommy Reese. And it wasn't that Bill O'Brien was a bad coordinator. Just Bill O'Brien, to me, had just checked out on college football. He needed to be back in the NFL in a system. But I don't know what to make out of Tommy Reese other than everybody thinks he's great. Now, I know exactly what you're talking about. And it will be very interesting to see what happens if things don't go well and he can't find the right quarterback. Willie is in Virginia. You're on the air. Hello, Willie.
What's up, Paul?
Hey there.
How you doing, man? I haven't talked to you. The last time I talked to you was about a year or two ago, and I told you I did a little work for Muhammad Ali back in the 70s.
You know, Willie, I do remember that, and anyone who's doing something needs to stop, because we're talking about the greatest of all time in almost every aspect of his life. What was it like? What did you do? And tell us more about it.
Well, I was working for him as a – I actually was for his attorney. His attorney was Spiro Anthony at the time, his escrow county attorney. And basically, so I got to work with Ali, got to associate with him, got to get in the ring with him a couple of times. You know, I boxed Golden Glove back in the 60s myself, but I wasn't no match for him. I stopped doing it, you know what I mean, and started playing football and basketball. But, you know, just the fact of being around him, being associated with him, you know, was a big thing for me at the time.
Now, Willie, I followed him so close. What years were we talking about here?
Well, we're talking about anywhere between 74, 77, 76.
Okay, so in 74, that was around the time that he had regained, or right before the time he regained the championship, wasn't it? Or was about to fight?
Right, yeah. Yes. Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. This is the thrill of the Manila period of his career, wasn't it?
The thrill of the Manila period, yeah. Yes, during that time, you know what I mean? I didn't travel with him a lot of places, like especially overseas, but you know, I got to sail up because Spiro was basically, you know, his escort. He used to travel with him. So I was more like Spiro's personal aide. Ali didn't need no bodyguard, and that's the kind of work I do. I still do it at 70-some years old. I still bodyguard. Wow. You know what I mean? And that's what I do. That's what I train for, you know.
Well, tell me this, Willie. When you got in the ring with him, I don't know if you were seriously sparring or not, but what was
No, it was. It wasn't serious. No, it was not.
Wow.
You know, it wasn't serious because I was no match for that man. You know, I mean,
well,
I was taller, but no match. I'm 6'5", and he's about 6'3½". You know.
I mean, you but caught.
It was more for fun. He liked to do. Ali is a funny guy. Was a funny guy. He liked to do stuff for fun. He was very comical, you know. And when I told him I boxed Golden Glove, he said, "Well, come on, I'm gonna see how good you are." No.
You should have kept your mouth shut.
Yeah, I should have. You know what I mean? You know,
wow.
But I also, what are you? I'm looking at all the stuff that's going on with the. Forget about transfer and NIL. I'm looking at all the stuff that's going on with realignment. You know what I mean? And I was laughing and thinking about, you know, they're talking about the ACC, and I'm in ACC country. I was thinking about, I said, well, you know, if I remember right, the ACC kind of started it because they raided the Big East some years ago.
They sure did.
I mean, the
ACC probably did more damage than anyone. I mean, the idea of them going, I'm trying to remember, was it Syracuse the first one? Or, I mean, they just started just acquiring, they got Florida State, Syracuse, but then they started working their way up and down the East Coast.
Oh, they went to Miami, they went through Syracuse, Pitt, I mean, you name it, you know what I mean? I mean, they raided the Big East. I mean, they dismantled their football in the Big East. That's what they did.
And to me, it never made any sense because, I mean, the ACC was like the SEC. It was those Atlantic Coast schools, North Carolina, Virginia, South Carolina. It was very regional and rich. Maryland, of course, things like that.
Yes. Yes. You know? As a matter of fact, it's funny you mentioned Maryland because I used to live in D.C. and I used to actually play, you know, pickup games with some of the guys at Maryland back then, you know, this was during the time of, when they had to, when Lefty Giselle was the coach.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the early 70s.
But it's funny, I was in D.C. a couple of weeks ago, and I had a chance to visit with Tom McMillan, who played at Maryland in the late 60s.
I know Tom, yes. I played pickup games against him.
That's amazing. I mean, he's somebody I've interviewed, but I've never met, and we've had Elmore on. I got to know Lefty. He may be one of the all-time characters in college basketball history. Hey, listen, Willie, we're up. We have a guest coming up, but I want to continue this sometime with you. Please call us again. Really great to talk to you. Anybody that's worked for Muhammad Ali has always got a spot here. We take a break. Takeo Spikes will join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We're back in studio. Takeo Spikes joins us, which is always a treat for me. Got to cover Takeo when he was I don't know how to describe him. You were one of the scariest players I've ever watched play at Auburn, and look at you now. You're just a meek, calm commentator.
I like that, Paul, calm. But you were a scary pundit. Yeah. That we were afraid to turn on the radio. And I remember, I got a good story for you.
Can't wait.
My freshman year, I remember Terry Bowden coming in saying, no, look here, guys. I don't want none of you guys paying attention to the TV. Don't listen to the radio. We got this guy, Paul Feinbaum. And I'm like, who is Paul Feinbaum? So immediately after the meeting, night was over. The next day, we get ready to go. We had practice that afternoon. Somebody was like, this is Feinbaum. And you came on, and I just thought it was very interesting. Not only did you gave us credit, you gave Auburn credit, because back then we were like, we don't know if we can trust Paul Feinbaum, because you were heavy on that school up in Tuscaloosa. Yeah. So, you know, I was like, I see why Terry is saying that. But I walked away from your interview that day just listening to you go back and forth with the fans, similar to what you do now. And I was like, you know what? I don't think he's that bad. And that was my first experience of Paul Feinbaum.
Well, it's funny, and I don't think I've ever acknowledged this, but there was a graduate assistant on that staff who I was friends with prior to him going there. And this guy would give me everything that happened. And I used it judiciously, but every once in a while, I would use something personal with Terry. There was something about his wife one day, and I'm not going to go into it, but you may remember the story where he said he had to leave practice early. His wife just got home from, she had some
problems.
No, she had some reconstructive surgery that women occasionally have at particular ages. And he made it, I'll tell you off, he said something else to the team about, and it was fairly salacious. He said, I've got to get out of here because my wife just got home. And I had that story within about 20 minutes. And that he later told me I've never been madder about anything in my life because he just didn't know where it was coming from. He had no idea that I had this source. And I mean, I wouldn't violate stuff like secrets of games, but anything that would drive Terry crazy, we were all in on.
Oh, that explains why he felt the way that he felt.
I wouldn't do that today I because it's just not – but I was a little bit crazy back then.
You sure you wouldn't do it today?
No, I would not do that. there's a certain. I would be more interested in, you know, information. Being salacious is not really the way to be successful, I think, in this industry. That's but true. I want to know what's really going on. Not. But back then, Terry was so. I mean, he was. He was a. He was a great coach, but he was all over the place.
Yeah.
As you well know.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of stories, especially the ones after I left.
Oh.
But I tell you this straight up, and I don't have no problems with Terry. He did a good job while he was there throughout my time.
Now, were you there before he got there?
I came after the 9-1-1 season.
Okay.
And, after the 9-1-1 season.
So you were there all Terry's time?
Yeah, all of Terry's time. Yep, Wayne Hall.
There was a time, not to belabor the point, after his first two seasons, his first season was perfect. They were 11-0, I think.
11-0.
And the next season, they lost one game and tied one game. I mean, he was considered about the hottest coach in the country at that moment in time.
No, no doubt. And for me, my first experience – all right, so I remember 93, I think I was a sophomore, and I got my first letter after Auburn went 11-0. And I remember receiving the letter, and I'm like, Auburn, where is Auburn? And, you know, looked it up, and I was like, oh, hell, it's next door to Georgia. So, for me, I was like, all right.
Where else were you
considering going? Florida State, Tennessee, and I visited Georgia. I only took 4 visits. I actually committed to Florida State.
That was a hot school back then.
It was very hot.
Well, defensively, amazing.
Yeah, very hot. I went on the visit. Guess who was my host? Derrick Brooks.
Ooh.
So I had to – you got a Hall of Famer, and not only in college, but in the, you know, now in the pros with Derrick Brooks. One of my good friends, childhood friends, Demetrio Stevens, big-time linebacker, he went there, and I committed to them. But the next week, I went and took the visit to Auburn, and it hit different, Paul. It just hit different. I remember they went 9-1-1, as you said, and at that time, the deciding factor for me was – how can a school go 11-0, 9-1-1, and if you think about who's on the defensive side of the ball, who's leading that charge, you really couldn't pull out one guy.
No.
You know, other than the secondary, the Dillard Five, that, you know, that was the main consistent theme. But I was like, secondaries, they can have that. But I'm going to go there and be that guy. So that was the reason why I eventually switched over. And became an Auburn Tiger versus a Florida State Seminole.
You picked a time. Auburn had just been slammed with a punishing probation.
Probation.
I mean, they weren't on TV in 93. I don't think they could go to a bowl game in 94.
So yep.
It was a big deal when they finally got back on track.
Yeah, and it made sense. For me, they came off of all of that, the majority of it anyway, by the time that I came my freshman year. But good experience for me. I think I did pretty well. That's the reason why I'm sitting up here beside you right now.
Yeah, well, you did okay once you went from there to the NFL. You did quite well.
Yeah, man. So a lot of people didn't know that story either, that I actually committed to Florida State.
I didn't know that.
Mickey Andrews, the ultimate coach of all time, Bobby Bowden.
Yeah, I mean, people give Bobby a lot of credit, but Mickey Andrews was the defensive genius.
Oh, no
doubt.
And
that was a big part of their success.
Big part of it. And I think what made Mickey so well respected, you didn't have to just be on the defensive side of the ball for him to get up under your nerves.
Really?
I saw him call out offensive guys, or he would call them out not in a direct manner, but he would call them out to motivate his defensive guys, especially defensive backs or linebackers if they can't cover the back or whatever. He would find a way to get after guys on the offensive side. And I think altogether, just from a cohesive standpoint, it really brought everybody together but kind of made them look at Mickey like he's the motivator and leader of all of this.
We just got a second left. But on that point, I want to ask you before you go, because I know you played with him. There's a big story this morning, a big story in the NFL, is Eric Bieniemy. He's with the Commanders now. And Ron Rivera walked this back today, but he said that there was some issues with some of the players. They felt like Eric was a little too intense. And I'm like going, how can you be too intense at preseason workouts?
You can't be. And this is the reason why you can't be, Paul. When, as a team, you pretty much suck in prior years. I give, we call him Chico, I give Coach a lot of credit for going out getting Eric Bieniemy. And I told you, I'm telling you now, like, I played with Eric Bieniemy my first 2 years in the league. And Eric is the same guy now that back then. He's attention to detail. The way that you do some things is the way that you do everything. And he preached that even as a player. He taught me how to become a pro. Now, I think the conflict is why guys don't feel so warm and fuzzy is because he's going to demand a lot out of the leaders. I don't care what type of day. If you had a great day at practice the prior day, he's going to come back and double down and put his foot on the gas on you because he wants consistency and he knows that's how you change it. And you look at prior before Eric and Andy Reid got to Kansas City, like Kansas City, they were not winning games. They would always win games but fizzle out when it gets to playoff time, or if they make the playoffs, they wouldn't go past the first round. It messes up everybody's bracket. So my message is Eric is tough, and I know he's tough, but when you don't have anything to stand on as far as a prior rap sheet or history of winning consistently, meaning the Washington Commanders, you got to take it how it comes. Like, who wants to keep coming in Monday after Monday hearing the same old thing? Yeah, we could have won. We should have won. Eric Bieniemy is the guy who I think is going to push the envelope, rightfully so. That's who he is. And we'll see what happens in the fall.
Can't wait. Always a fascinating conversation with Takeo. We will continue this throughout the year. Takeo, thanks so much.
Absolutely.
Great to have him here. We got time for some phone calls on the other side. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her
story. You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence...
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
We're back with phone calls and love to hear from you. And we begin with Larry, who's up next. Larry, good afternoon.
Hey, man, what are you doing these people, Michael Bratton? You know, I've heard him before. You know, he just qualified himself. I guess he loves to be talked about in an ignorant manner because he qualified himself about 100 stupid
Larry,
names.
Larry, if we were able to get Michael on, which we can't, and you had something to say to him, what would you say directly to him?
I just say, how do you get so stupid? How old are you? How do you get so stupid in those years? Your mom must be ashamed of you, boy. I mean, you fell out of a fruit tree. You're a doofus. You're a doofus. I can think of it being ignorant.
I mean, if you were to, just out of curiosity,
you was there so long.
Larry,
that's what I'd say.
If I could get you guys together, what would you say to him? What would you do to him?
I just say I try to be calm, you know me. I just tell him, I say, man, let me ask you a question, and I won't be serious. Are you that dupus? If you would say they could have been second in the SEC, that's bad enough. But third, are you that ignorant? Do you want to get on here and make a clown out of yourself or really be a professional?
And if he said to you that Saban's dynasty is decaying, would you be able to?
Yeah, I just tell him, hey, I'm gonna go on your words. You said Alabama beat Georgia in the SEC and then got crumpled by Georgia in the championship. I'm gonna give you that, but we split. And you see, you don't even Feinbaum had five of his best analysts sat there, and out of five of them, four of them said Bama losing their two best receivers. But you don't allow that. So you say you're so ignorant. You got to have something.
I don't allow what?
That you're not stupid.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about what he said on your show just a minute ago. He said Alabama lost to Alabama beat Georgia one game and he got crushed. No, Alabama crushed Georgia the first game. We got our ass kicked the second game. But don't say that like that. Why didn't they win both games, Paul? I mean, don't be ignorant. Quit being ignorant. That's what he's being. If you want to say something with some intelligence and with some sports related, say, well, Alabama had their problems the first Georgia meeting, but the second one, Georgia took care of business. That's all. Alabama fell apart. And we know that. We're not ignorant. I'm not ignorant like him. We had some losses and that were inexcusable. And we're biting the bullet on it, so we're going on. But I just can't wait. I wish he would put some money where that big mouth is. That's what he's
got.
Are you talking to
Michael Bratton when you say that or me?
I'm saying it to Michael Bratton. He don't have no brain, no
okay,
sports brain.
I tell you what, Larry. We they have this big debate coming up in a few weeks in politics. We need to have you and Michael Bratton debate on this show. Are you in?
Woo!
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.